Time for our daily COVID-19 update. And today we have a new player in the game. Dr. Sagan Chase is with CenterPoint. And Dr. Chase, thank you for joining us here this morning. Appreciate you calling in.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, we've got a lot of things that we want to talk about, and you know, you bring a little bit different perspective into the discussions that we've had here with relation to it being a little bit more of a medical practice type scenario.
Mm-hmm.
How have you seen things change in your clinic?
In our clinic, we've had a lot of things change, and on a rapid fire basis, some days with 2 staff meetings a day, just depending on what information's come out from the CDC or the Kansas Department of Health. In the beginning, we've really worked to ramp up our personal protective equipment for our staff. We have worked to see sick patients or potential coronavirus patients outside of our clinic so we could keep healthy patients coming in when they needed to be seen in the clinic. So we've tried to minimize exposure for staff and for patients. And then one of the biggest, I think that's the, one of the biggest things you'll see inside of our clinic is all of our staff are wearing masks and we're requiring all of our patients to wear masks. We have a sign outside that we wear a mask to protect you. We ask that you wear a mask to protect us. And we find that's really important so that based on CDC recommendations and guidelines, we know that social distancing is really our best tool right now against spreading coronavirus since there are so many asymptomatic carriers.
Do you see that this is going to be the norm in the foreseeable future?
I absolutely do. And I think that in our household, just with my own family, we've talked about this is kind of like getting dressed or brushing your teeth or brushing your hair. You want to get your mask and make sure you're washing your hands on a regular basis. And just a reminder that these are common practices that we can incorporate into our behavior on a regular basis.
When you talk about common practices, this is hopefully that the, you know, the results that we've seen in Kansas, which, you know, well, at least here locally, have somewhat stabilized. And a lot of that has to do with the social distancing and proper hygiene.
Correct. It really has. We've worked hard. Kansas started early. Even in Manhattan, we took an earlier spring break than a lot of people around the state, and then we didn't come back. And so it allowed us to keep that distance. So I think that made a big difference for us. That we could keep our hospitals and facilities at a manageable level for the disease.
I think one of the things that I would be somewhat concerned about that with the governor's stay-at-home order being lifted effective Monday, that people don't take this as a signal that you can stop wearing masks and stop being socially distant in the foreseeable future.
Absolutely. If you read through her executive summary online, that's one of the first things in phase one. It says masks are strongly encouraged in public settings. And she said in her address last night to continue with hand hygiene and covering your cough and making sure we're keeping that 6 feet distance. And then staying at home if you're feeling ill, keeping non-essential travel at a minimum. And they've continued to encourage telework. Strongly encouraged when possible. And we've seen that in our clinic. You ask about changes in our clinic, and that's another big thing we've seen, doing a lot of telemedicine where it's applicable. It doesn't apply in all categories, but certainly if we can keep patients home and we can have that face-to-face dialogue over the computer and talk about their symptoms, that's been very helpful for us to be able to do.
Does the telemedicine include, like, what do you do, like a FaceTime or Zoom mm-hmm. meeting?
When the state of emergency was put into place by the government, many of the insurers allowed for you to use various forms of platform, be it FaceTime or Google Hangout or Zoom. Our specific electronic medical record has its own platform, which we've used, and we've used that for the thought that going forward it is HIPAA compliant and we could hopefully continue. Now, those are all a lot of things in the future that we just don't know about at this point in time. But it's through our patient portal on our electronic medical record, and I will pull up the patient. They're on a video there with me. If they have the ability to take their vital signs at home, check up blood pressure, pulse, respiratory rate, weight, they can input it there, so I have it in my note, which is very helpful. But then we have a conversation. I run through their medication list. I talk about what concerns they have. If they have lab work that they've had drawn to go over, We'll go through that, and we can make a plan. We can adjust medications. If they have a rash, I can look at that. I've had some patients that we look at the amount of swelling in their legs, or if there's a spot they're concerned about on their skin. So there's a lot of things we actually can do, and we're learning each day on this too.
I think you also need to send a strong message out to people that, you know, because of all of the advancements that have been made throughout the health industry in regards to, you know, the wearing the masks and the and a cleaner environment there, that these places like your clinic, like the hospital, are safe, and that you should not forsake going to see your health professional if you have some medical concerns.
Absolutely, Dave. I think you bring up an excellent point. That's something the clinical task force has said from the beginning, from our first letter to the editor and to the community, was your chronic medical illnesses and new illnesses come up despite coronavirus. So we don't want diabetic patients to stay at home and not have their routine checks for blood sugar, or for our patients with heart failure, or we know there are cancer patients that are still seeking care. These things continue to go on. We have put in our clinic, other clinics in town and at the hospital, lots of measures in place to make sure you are safe when you come to that facility, so that you are not afraid to come and seek the care that you need. By putting off those things, we could create bigger issues. So we do encourage you to go ahead and come. One thing that we've told people, especially in our clinic, and I think it goes for most places around town, it's very helpful if you can call before you come and tell us what's going on, so we can kind of direct you in the right place. If it's something that we'd like for you to wait in your car and we'll come to you, if that minimizes exposure, that works in that scenario. I know that some places have done that too, but calling ahead to your provider can make a big difference in helping us to triage and know the best place for you to seek that care.
What do you anticipate for our local area, specifically in, you know, Riley and Pottawatomie counties, with regards to the reaction from the governor's directives last night, and how there may be some additional or maybe even lesser concerns through the local health departments?
So I think we're with anticipation today to hear what Riley County Health Department is going to put out. We know that they can apply additional guidance in what the governor has said, and we anticipate that. I think a lot of us will see kind of business as usual based on what the governor has said. I know that she has lessened some restrictions, but on the other hand, we've been encouraged to continue to stay home when possible, avoid non-essential travel, telework, like we talked about earlier. So I anticipate a lot of our life won't change a whole lot. We've still got a limitation on mass gatherings. I believe there will be some businesses that will be permitted to open under certain guidance from Riley County. And so, like I said, I think we'll wait to hear what they have to say today. I know a lot of people are greatly anticipating that. I also think we'll probably see an influx of cases as people are more mobile. They're moving around a little bit more. And that's why it's really important that we continue to encourage the social distancing and practices, so that we can continue to decrease that asymptomatic transmission and transmission in general.
And this is going to be the norm for apparently quite some time.
I believe so. It's hard to say. I know in the governor's address last night, all phases were a minimum of 2 weeks, but it really depends on how well we do in the upcoming phase as to whether we'll know about the next phase. So we've done, you know, I think we've done a fairly good job over the last few weeks. I think we've kind of probably gotten a little bit more lax in our movement over the last week or two. And it seems, just from my experience going out to the grocery store or whatever, there maybe has been a little bit more activity going on. So we'll have to watch it really closely as to whether we can move forward. I think people have to remember it's not a guarantee in 2 weeks that we get to move to phase two. It's all dependent on how we continue to monitor our behavior now.
I know that this is something that's consistent. In fact, I've heard from some friends of mine that are in physical therapy. You know, they're doing the same thing, wearing masks and trying to keep distant, doing the telehealth and encouraging people to have, you know, communication so that they can do some exercising at home to try to do their rehab, even though they may not have a place where they can go to.
I think it's important that we can encourage to do the things that we need to do. You mentioned rehab. Obviously, if you've had some sort of injury or surgery that requires rehabilitation, this isn't a time to stop that. We encourage you to continue to do that at home. We encourage everyone to continue their exercise and their routine as much as possible. I recognize that gym facilities are not open, but we've been lucky to have some excellent weather so we could get outside and take advantage of that. The vitamin D is always good for our bodies, too.
Well, Dr. Sagan Chase, thank you so much for joining us this morning. You did a wonderful job in giving us a new medical perspective on how things are in your field. And we wish you and all those that you work with and those that you love well and everybody keep safe.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for keeping the community apprised. We really appreciate all you've done.